staff here at Texas Motor Speedway for having me out this morning and this afternoon. It's always great to be around the track on race weekend because there's juice out here like none other. It's great to be around. It's great electricity, and it's great to be around you folks. And as I say that, I'm curious, how many locals do we have in the room now? I know a lot of people travel in. Locals, Channel 8 viewers? Yeah. First and foremost, I thank you. My kids thank you. Thank you for helping me put food on the table. I do appreciate that. But how many of you are going to the races tonight? Anyone going to the race tonight? All right, good. Yes. So here's what I need you to do. We've got a weather guy by the name of Pete Delkus. Yes. Look at the ladies over there. They love Pete. So here's the assignment. When it gets cold at the race tonight, snap a picture on your phone. Hopefully you've got that Twitter thing. So I need you to tweet out hashtag ThanksDelkus that it's so cold. All right? We're blaming Pete. It's all his fault. All right? All right, enough of that. Let's get on to the real reason we're here, and it's a fantastic afternoon. It's the 16th annual Texas Motorsports Hall of Fame Luncheon. You know, they say everything is bigger in Texas, and that certainly rings true when you see all the faces in this crowd and the big-time names, the household names with whom the Texas Motorsports Hall of Fame will recognize on this day. Now, we are fortunate to be joined by one of its most distinguished members. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to the IndyCar legend, Lone Star JR, Johnny Rutherford. I'd also like to welcome President, CEO, Director of Speedway Motorsports, Marcus Smith. Marcus, thanks so much for being here. So each of the legends in this Hall of Fame have made an impact on racing, and today we honor a driver that made history here at Texas Motor Speedway in ways that no one has or likely ever will. He's the most diversely successful racer in TMS history, Mr. Tony Stewart. Tony, smoke. You'll have to stick around for later in the program. Tony, I have a public apology that I will offer you. Yeah, it goes back quite a ways. In the news business, that's what we call a tease. That's going to happen later in the show, okay? Public apology for Tony. It was, I just had too much fun, Tony, I did. All right, we also recognize the accomplishments of those in motorsports for their work both on and off the track. You may have heard their names. The late Dallas Morning News reporter, Jerry Fraley, reigning NASCAR Xfinity Series champion Tyler Reddick, five-time IndyCar champion Scott Dixon, and one of the most successful owners in motorsports history, Mr. Chip Ganassi. Yes, indeed. We also honor the generosity of Speedway Children's Charity's longtime partner, Fort Worth's Extreme Photography. Yes, all right. So let's kick off our afternoon with our first special guest. This man is well recognized around No Limits, Texas. One could even call him the mayor. Please welcome America's greatest promoter, the man I like to call a modern day P.T. Barnum, Texas Motor Speedway President Eddie Gossage.
Thank you, Joe. I just wanted to say thank you all for coming and supporting Speedway Children's Charities today. Really appreciate your support. You know, we're at almost $12 million that Speedway Children's Charities has raised through the years to help the kids of North Texas. The Tony Stewart Smoke Show, which we just ran about two or three weeks ago, has raised over $1 million towards that end, and it's Tony's generosity of his time. The one thing that, yeah, how about a hand for Tony for doing that? I always say drivers have a lot to offer charity. They'll give you something to auction off. Some will write you a check. But the thing they have the least of is time. And when Tony dedicates a day to come to Texas, sit in a hot race car, sweat running off his nose, and he's done it for 12 years now. That's a pretty big donation, we think, and we appreciate what he's doing to help us help the kids of North Texas. So we're the honor today, but most we want to say thank you to you folks for being here with us, and hope you enjoy tonight's O'Reilly Auto Parts 300 and tomorrow's big AAA Texas 500. Thanks for being here. And thank you, Joe, for doing this.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, pal.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me out, Eddie. You know, I appreciate doing it. And Eddie mentioned that smoke show that Tony does here each year, and that's part of the reason I'm going to have to apologize. But that's later in the show. That's later in the show. And again, in the TV business, this is what we call a tease. All right. The Texas Motorsports Hall of Fame luncheon is one of several events held throughout the year to help benefit children in North Texas. Since 1977, the Texas chapter of Speedway Children's Charities has given $10.85 million in grants to children. Now, to give you a better perspective of kind of what that number means, this is kind of how it works. You could fill Texas Motor Speedway, all those stands out there, the stands over there, you could fill it more than 18 times with the number of children that have benefited from the charity's support. Eddie, that's an incredible number. Your heart should be swelling up with pride right now. It's great work. It's God's work. Keep it up. How about it for that number? And now let's take a closer look at the great work that Speedway Children's Charities does in our community.
Your eyes fade to shoulder again.
When I grow up, I will be a race car driver.
My name is Kennedy Baker, and I want to be an actress and a philanthropist when I grow up.
Hello, my name is Bridget, and I want to be a baby nurse.
When I grow up, I want to be a police officer, just like my dad.
My name's Anaya, and I want to be a professional basketball player when I grow up.
My name is Davis, and I want to be a scientist.
My name is Brilliant, and I want to be an NBA player once I grow up.
My name is Layla, and I want to be a gymnast.
How about it, huh? You know, it's great and it's fun to come out to the races and watch the incredible skill that these drivers have and their crews putting together these incredible shows. But when you think beyond that, knowing that you're helping kids like that, it just makes it that much better to be a part of this incredible weekend that they put on here at Texas Motor Speedway. One more round of applause for the Children's Charities, please. All right, I'm going to keep it moving here. With the end of the 2019 NASCAR season just a couple of weeks away, Texas Motor Speedway has the enviable task once again to host the middle race of the round of eight for both the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series. Just outside these windows, both series qualify a little later today. And then, of course, tonight, the Xfinity Series O'Reilly Auto Parts 300 gets its 15th race winner. Then tomorrow, of course, it's the AAA Texas 500 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race that will drop its green flag at 2 o'clock. We're here today in part to look back at the 2018 season here at Texas Motor Speedway. Once again, it was a bellwether for championship quality racing. Get this. 5 of the 6 NASCAR events were won by drivers who advanced to the Championship 4 in Miami. And our IndyCar event was dominated by the sport's soon-to-be champion. This track behind me does a fantastic job of identifying incredible racers, and it continues to do so. Now, before we honor our guests in attendance, I'd like to start with an award that is near and dear to the Speedway Children's Charities. In 1990, Bruton Smith enlisted the assistance of a retired U.S. Air Force Major General by the name of Thomas Sadler to help guide Speedway Children's Charities as the National Executive Director. Under his direction, the charity flourished, raising more than $45 million and helping more than 13 million children across the country. We lost our beloved General Sadler in September of 2015, but the legacy he left behind will live on in our hearts forever. Today, Speedway Children's Charities is now one of NASCAR's most respected charities, and it's only appropriate that their highest award is named in his honor. For more than 20 years, these individuals have donated their services by attending every single Speedway Children's Charities event, staying behind the scenes to capture important moments and preserve memories for years to come. Please welcome Tiffany and Derek Burke of Extreme Photography to the stage to accept the Major General Thomas Sadler Humanitarian Award. How about it? That's my shtick, but I like it. Congrats, you guys. That's fantastic. How about it? If you've been to other events that I MC, you know that's my shtick. So I'm in good company if you're winning awards like that. That's fantastic. Congrats again, you guys. It's awesome. All right, our next award is one we don't present every year. Some of the great journalists in DFW have been honored with the Excellence in Journalism Award. And today, it's actually bittersweet to do it once more. The late Jerry Fraley was a staple at the Dallas Morning News for 30 years. Known for his straight shooter style and quick wit, Fraley instilled wonder and sometimes a little fear into fellow journalists, yours truly included. But once you were in with Jerry, you were in. He started covering motorsports at TMS later in his career, but his dogged determination to do it right made him a welcome staple in the media center for even the toughest interviews on the circuit. His battle with cancer over the past 2 years may have changed the way that Jerry looked, but it never changed the quality of his work or the effort that went into making it top-notch. Here today to accept the Excellence in Journalism Award is Jerry's wife, Stephanie. Stephanie, come on up. All right, next up is one of the most talented drivers Texas Motor Speedway has had the privilege of hosting. When Scott Dixon made a pass for the lead with 119 laps left to go in the 2018 DXC Technology 600, there was a sense of inevitability to it. Dixon did what Dixon has done through the years, running away with the win for the third time at Texas. The win gave him 43 in his career, moving him past Michael Andretti for third all time. He took the IndyCar Series points lead that night and he never gave it up, winning a fifth IndyCar championship for Chip Ganassi Racing and further cementing his legacy as one of the best of all time. Scott's enjoying the off-season with his family and awaiting the arrival next month of he and wife Emma's third child. But Scott wanted to send us a message. Take a look.
Apologies that I couldn't make it. Just a huge honor to be awarded Driver of the Year for the 2018 season. Definitely takes me back to great memories. You know, we took the lead of the championship with our third victory at Texas Motor Speedway. Who doesn't love winning at Texas Motor Speedway? You know, shooting the guns, wearing the cowboy hat. I think I look very good in a cowboy hat. We're definitely trying to do that again next season. Doesn't go without saying a huge thanks to Chip Ganassi and his team of people that make all this possible. Almost 20 years I've been with this team and celebrated a lot of success and going into next season trying to go after our sixth championship. So huge thanks to the Texas Motor Speedway Hall of Fame for this award, and look forward to getting back to Texas.
All right, let's hear it for our 2018 Racer of the Year, Scott Dixon. All right, our next award is about more than victories. It's about how you carry yourself on and off the track. Considering what was on the line, Tyler Reddick had every reason to take issue with Cole Custer following the 2018 O'Reilly Auto Parts 300. Reddick was less than a lap from his first win at TMS and clinching a spot in the Championship Four at Homestead. Then came Custer, pounding straight into Reddick's door down the backstretch before pulling ahead for the win. He went to victory lane, and Reddick had to survive the next week at Phoenix to clinch his spot in the finale. Now, there wasn't a fight afterward, though. Reddick actually blamed himself, saying, "I needed to be perfect, and I wasn't." And he added, "Not bad at all, not mad at all. It's just a racing deal." The best part for Reddick was he and the good karma he took from Texas went to Miami 2 weeks later, and he won the 2018 NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship. And now this year he's in position to go right back and do it again. Let's welcome the recipient of the 2018 Texas Motor Speedway Sportsmanship Award, Tyler Reddick. All right, so now we get to have a little fun, and this is my favorite part of the program today, when I actually get to sit down and talk to some of the most talented sportsmen on the planet one-on-one. This is fantastic. So, Tyler, this is great. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
Doing great. I guess I'm glad I won here at Texas Motor Speedway. Definitely probably won't win this award at Kansas Speedway after 2 weeks ago. It's funny. It had to be Cole Custer yet again, but, you know, hopefully one of these times I can break through and win a race here. Earlier this year was second once again, so hopefully I can break through and get a race win, but the Sportsman Award isn't too bad either.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that Kansas deal. That's too juicy to pass up. But let's be honest, you were just being nice for the cameras afterward. Well, you really wanted to give him a piece of your mind that night here, didn't you?
Oh, at Kansas?
No, the one here.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, no? The funny part about that race is I thought I had Cole figured out at that point. We were battling earlier in that race, and I was able to keep him behind me for most of the night, just not missing my marks in one and two. And he had a perfect lap. He drove it right in there, got on my quarter panel, got me loose, and you know, I just made a mistake. I took the corner too easy, and I basically just gave it away. So as part of it, he was really, really fast that day, and you know, it locked him into Homestead, and it made our life a little bit more stressful that next week at Phoenix, but we broke through and we got to battle for it at Homestead.
So this is the great thing about sports, right? Because the old saying is, you know, adversity doesn't allow you to be a better character, it reveals your character, right? So I'm curious, I mean, you were so close in that race, but you were able to gather yourself and prove that you were a champion. How did you do it?
Well, you know, the thing I told myself and my team last year all along is if we can just get to Homestead, that I was very, very confident about that racetrack and what my driving style kind of allows me to do when I get there. The composite body allows you to bounce off the fence a few times and keep rolling along, and that's been an advantage for me. So that was just, it was a tough loss, but it's what got us going into Phoenix. You know, it was hard to walk away knowing that one lap difference, and if we could have just held him off one more lap, one more corner, would have been fine. But, you know, we got through Phoenix, we got to Homestead, and we were very hungry. And it's funny, we haven't won yet in this round, but we're kind of in a similar spot, a little bit better points cushion. But if we can win here tonight, it'll set ourselves up good for Homestead in a few weeks.
And I'm curious about, you know, how an award like this fits, because, you know, it's for your actions and your character, not necessarily your driving skill or your driving acumen. Where does this fit in the trophy case?
It fits right up there with a lot of them. You know, I feel like, you know, granted, Kansas was a clash of emotions a couple weeks ago, but generally, I love the guys that race really hard. Cole is one of those guys. He's got an insane amount of driving talent, and I just have a lot of respect for drivers that are willing to go toe-to-toe like that at any given point in a race. You know, practice is one thing, but once we get racing, I just love battling, and Cole's one of those guys. There's a lot of guys that I've been able to race with throughout the years that respect that and love racing hard like that, too. So for me, it's just, you know, I just love racing hard with those guys, and we have a blast doing it week in and week out.
So I want to continue on that thread, if we can, Tyler, because I am interested about the code. Because here, you know, you said you made the mistake and you kept going, but there in Kansas, it was a whole different deal.
Yep.
How does for those of us who aren't skilled enough to get behind a wheel when it matters that much, what is the code?
The code?
In terms of how you decide, listen, I've got to answer that force with some other force off the track, and when I just say, hey, it's just a racing deal, like
well,
you did here in Texas.
Well, he came up, and he was upset. I knew he was going to be upset. I would have been just as upset if I was him, but we just had a disagreement, if you will. He was wanting to use a little bit of hands, and I asked him if we were really going to use hands, so then I'd return the favor with not one, but two. So I don't think it would have gone much further than that. If we were really mad and wanted to fight, we would have fought. I think we were just frustrated. He wanted to get some more points out of that race, be in a better spot. But we're both still really, really good spots points-wise going into these last two races. And if we're smart, we can go battle for it at Homestead.
So was there a moment where you're saying to him, are we really going to go? Are we going to go right here, right now? Is
this I would say we're going to go. I asked him if we were going to use hands, and he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So, you know, I just give him a little shove back, and from there, you know, people are pulling in different directions, crew members get involved, and it's just one of those deals. Emotions run high in this playoff format, and we both want to win another championship.
And it's one of those deals that Eddie Gossage loves to see. Look, he's over there smiling.
He loves entertainment.
You hit him harder, says Eddie. I know. All right, last thing. So what do you expect tonight on this racetrack with everything that is at stake and trying to set yourself up even better for that last round?
Well, as much as finishing second would be nice for the third time in a row, I'd like to break through and win, but we got a really good car. It was very fast in practice yesterday. The guys right here at table four worked really hard on this thing all week long. They've been working really hard on this race car all year long. We've been just really, really fast everywhere. So feeling really confident about what we have. We can be smart, I feel, and just let the race come to us. We don't have to really be aggressive to try and get to the front, because I feel like if we're just smart, our car will get us there. So just try and have a good race. We're 37 up over fourth, so we don't have to win. But if we could win, it would take a lot of pressure off us, and we could just focus right on Homestead in a few weeks.
It's great stuff, Tyler. We appreciate you doing it. It's fantastic that you won it. Thanks so much for spending your time. How about it, folks? One more time for the 2018 Sportsmanship Award winner, Tyler Reddick.
Thank you.
There was a time when I didn't need these. That time's long gone. Way long gone. All right, our next award is one that is not easily earned. The Bruton Smith Legend Award recognizes individuals that have made a lasting impact in the world of racing, and Chip Ganassi has certainly done just that. He's the only team owner in history to find victory lane in the Indianapolis 500, the Daytona 500, Brickyard 400, Rolex 24, 24 hours of Le Mans, and 12 hours of Sebring. Didn't even have enough fingers for that on one hand. His drivers won four consecutive kart championships in the 90s, eight championships so far in IndyCar and Kyle Larson. He's still alive to try and bring Chip a first NASCAR title as well. At Texas Motor Speedway, he's still chasing that first Cup Series win, but he's tasted victory on the IndyCar side an impressive five times. Nobody's ever done it quite like our Bruton Smith Legend Award winner, Mr. Chip Ganassi. Chip said he thought he was in victory circle. Said we need to get him the six shooters. I don't know how those chandeliers would take that, though, Chip. That might be an issue. Well, thank you so much for coming out. We know just how busy your schedule is. So we got a few questions for you. You know, you've had such a diverse resume in terms of motorsports. Was that always the goal, or did you find yourself kind of branching out the further along you went in it?
You know, well, first of all, good afternoon, everybody. What an honor it is to be here and be represented. I mean, representing our sport from people like Bruton and Eddie. And Eddie, I look around and I say, I feel like Vito Corleone at the table there. How did we ever get this big, huh? I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how we got this big. It's with vision like Bruton Smith has. And he's got a guy like Eddie Gossage. And Eddie, all you've done, and really appreciate being here.
And you led me to my next question. Just the impact and the weight that having an award that's got Bruton's name on it, what does it mean to you?
Well, I mean, it's all you have to do is look around here. And I was told that this, we've been here for 23 years now at Texas Motor Speedway. And when you see that grandstand, you never think that we could fill it six times with the children that the charities have helped over the years. I'm just glad we were able to fill it up once, Marcus, huh? And it's, you know, when this place was, you know, 23 years ago, this place set the bar, it set the standard, and you know, Marcus and his team continue to set the standard today.
You've been so successful in open wheel racing, and now you're still in the hunt in NASCAR. Is it a different feeling? Is it that same kind of pit in your stomach that we got a shot? How does it work?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have a shot, it you know, it's a great feeling. And believe me, it's not me. It's the great people I get to work with, and some of them are here today. Thanks, guys, for being here. Some of my team, and you know, I look back and I see these guys like Tyler Reddick come up here. He's driven our car. Tyler, congratulations. And Tony Stewart's driven our car. So it's, you know, I've got some great friends, and, you know, congratulations to those guys as well.
And, of course, another guy who's famously driven your car is Scott Dixon. The fact that
Dixon. Yeah, I almost forgot about that, right? Where is he? How did he get out of this today?
That's right. The fact that he gets honored today with you, what does that mean to you?
No, it's pretty special. Obviously, Scott, you know, what you failed to mention was the only two guys in front of him on wins are a guy named Mario Andretti, you might have heard of him, and another guy from Texas here, A.J. Foyt. So those are the only guys in front of that have more wins than he does. And so that's pretty interesting, yeah.
So here's the question. Looking at all the success you've had, there have been some near misses here too in terms of racing here at Texas Motor Speedway. What moment sticks out most for Chip Ganassi?
Well, I think here at Texas is obviously the first time, you know, that was pretty big. I think we won a championship, and Eddie had a celebration up here for us, you know, that night at the Speedway Club, and it was one of the first times I was up here, I remember. And thank you again, Eddie, for that. Yeah, so obviously we won a title here. That was pretty big.
So you've done so much, so decorated in this great sport. What's next for Chip Ganassi? What other worlds are there left to conquer for you?
There's one tomorrow. Tomorrow. I want to win that race. You know, I just try to do the best every day. Take it one day at a time. You know, I think it's a good policy to go through life in as well. Just do the best you can today. So I'm going to do the best I can today, and I'm going to try to do the best I can tomorrow. And whatever happens, happens. Yeah.
Well, not only have you been doing the best that you can, you've been doing some of the best that we've ever seen for a long time. So how about it, ladies and gentlemen, the Bruton Smith Legend Award winner, Chip Ganassi.
Thank you.
My pleasure, Chip.
Chip just dropped the mic. It was a drop the mic moment. I think he's entitled. One more big award, and obviously this room is filled with stars, future stars, crew members who are really busy and have to leave, right? A lot of work to do, right, Tyler? But in this room that is full of stars, there might be one that's shining just a little brighter than the rest. And he's certainly a star, and he's certainly beloved here in Texas. He's the most diversely successful driver in Texas Motor Speedway history. That's a fact that cannot be disputed. With 3 NASCAR Cup Series wins here, a pair of Cup Series pole awards, and a pair of IndyCar Series pole awards, he's the only driver to succeed in both Premier Series on this track. His career in the Lone Star State started with his first IndyCar test drive here at the track, and it was the first test here in history. Interesting, because during that test, he sang to his crew while driving to prove to him that he could take more power in his car. He won the pole for the track's first 2 IndyCar races and would have won the first one if his engine hadn't blown with less than 2 laps to go. He switched to NASCAR and won at Texas in 2006 with the most dominating winning performance in track history. In that race, he led 278 of 339 laps. Absolutely incredible. He won again in 2011. It was part of the hottest playoff stretch any driver has gone on. He won half of the 10 playoff races, winning his 3rd and final Cup Series championship. He lends his name to the Tony Stewart Presents the Vancouver Sprint Nationals on the TMS Dirt Track, wrapping up 2 days of racing just last night over there. And his charitable side stands out in Texas, too. For 12 years, as we've mentioned, he's hosted the Smoke Show Fantasy Driving Camp, helping raise more than $1.8 million for Speedway Children's Charities. Think of a part of this operation, any part of this operation, any part at all, and Tony Stewart has had his hands in it, and in some way, he has made it better for all of us. Everyone, please welcome the 22nd member of the Texas Motorsports Hall of Fame, Mr. Tony Stewart.
We are the champions, my friends, and we'll keep on fighting till the end. We are the champions, we are the champions. No time for losers, 'cause we are the champions.
Is this still work after Ganassi dropped it on the floor? I'm just glad he's awake. Normally that's time for his nap this time of day, isn't it? Actually, I will say this. I want to tell a quick story about Chip. I only got to race for Chip one time at the Indianapolis 500 in 2001. And obviously growing up in Indiana, that's, you know, for a driver, that's the holy grail is to win the Indianapolis 500. And Chip was gracious enough to let me drive one of his cars in 01 there, and we were leading with how many laps to go? 40 some odd laps to go, I believe. And it started raining. And Joe Gibbs was more than gracious enough to let me do this, not only for the first time, but the second time. But we had a very strict time schedule of we had to get back because of the point standings and this and that. You have to start the race in the cup car to get your points. And the rains came, and we're all getting out of the car, and we're leading over Jill DeFerrin at the time. And I remember Chip coming to me right away, and he's looking at me, and he's looking at his watch. He's like, what are you going to do? I said, well, Joe Gibbs isn't here, and I'm damn sure not leading the Indianapolis 500. So we're sticking this out, bud. And he started smiling, and then we started talking about what are we going to do to try to win this race. And this is why Chip is such a great car owner, why he's won all the races and championships that you mentioned. This was a perfect example of it. He goes, we can pit when the pit's open and take our tires and take fuel, and we're still going to have to make a pit stop toward the end, but all we'll have to do is take fuel and a fraction of what we would have to take if we just go ahead and restart with the lead. So he goes, what do you want to do? I said, well, I didn't come here to run second through 33rd. I said, I only came to win. And so we decided to take the chance. And, of course, it bit us in the ass. But
We still ended up sixth in the deal. So, and the greatest opportunity I had to win the 500. So very appreciative for Chip for that opportunity. And I never had more fun in Indianapolis than the month of May that I got to spend with Chip. He's a great guy.
That's great stuff. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I love doing these things. As I mentioned before, the stories are just fantastic. And speaking of
stories.
Need
me to take that?
Yeah, actually, I've got to fly to New York. Cowboys play, of course, on Monday. That's
Saturday.
That's my alarm to check in for my American Airlines flight.
On Monday.
On tomorrow for Monday's game. Got to go up a day early. Sports special, by the way, 10:35 Sunday night. Make sure you don't miss that. Thanks for setting me up for my
attaboy.
Plug, Tony. I was going to have to do it myself and look really bad, but you did great. Speaking of weird, you almost won that dirt track race last night, and now you're being honored as a Hall of Famer. How does that work, Tony?
I'm a glutton for punishment. I mean, I told Chip and I were talking about it. He goes, I thought you were retired. I said, yeah, I thought so too, but apparently I don't fully understand what the definition of retired is. So I think when we started the season, we had 102 races on our schedule to run, and I think last night, with all the rainouts we've had, I think last night was my 67th race this year. So not quite as many as we were hoping for, but still, it's been a pretty full plate this year.
That's a great thing about racing, though. Be hard for a lot of those NFL guys to try and do that when they get the call to the Hall of Fame. It would not work. But the fact that you're still doing it at such a high level is fantastic. Now, as I mentioned before, you've had your hands in so many things at this track. And as we said, you've really helped to make this track so much better. When your career started, did you ever think along those lines of being able to make such an impact specifically at this track?
Are you kidding me? When I was young, all I wanted to do was try to figure out a way to not have to work a real job. And luckily, I found something I could do that they would actually pay me to do that I liked to do, and that was drive a race car. So, but I think a lot of what we've done here is literally because of Eddie Gossage and his staff. I mean, they are literally, this is like a home away from home for me. I'm a series owner, I'm a racetrack owner and promoter, and I've learned a lot of great lessons from a great man from Mr. Barnum over here. I'm going to wear that out, bud. By the way, I got a media event here in a little while. Your day's going to get real interesting. So just want to give you a little heads up right now. But truly, I've learned a lot of great things from Eddie as far as the promotion side, and I think he's done so much for racing, and he's one of the very, very few promoters in motorsports that actually has the ability to think outside the box and have the balls to do something with it. So a lot of guys won't do what he has the bravery to do, and he's done great things because of that.
I want you to take me back to that initial test, the Indy test, when you're literally in the seat driving to your team. Were you thinking that you could make history at that point? What was the point, Tony?
Well, really, it was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chip, I don't think they'd really ran on a track with this kind of banking. I don't think any cars had ran on anything this steep yet. And I remember coming to the track that day, and you guys all remember when you go to work in the morning, you got the radio on, whatever the last song on the radio was, that's what you remember all day. And it wasn't really a good song either. I didn't like the song, but we made the first run, and obviously with the Indy cars, you have telemetry, and so they can see where your throttle position is, and we got running wide open pretty quick around here. And when I came in, the team manager, he's asking me, he's like, well, you know, how comfortable is it? And I'm like, it's easy flat. I said, it's, you know, you can drive it right now. I can put you in it, and you can drive it wide open. It's easy flat. They're starting to try to find ways to make it faster, and the adjustments that he made or that he was wanting to make were really, really small. And I'm like, listen, you can do way more than that. It's that comfortable. You can go a lot further. He goes, well, let's just try this. And I'm like, we're going to be here for 2 days. We got a lot of work to do. We're going to take this little baby step right off the bat, but whatever. So when I went out there, on the second lap, I was wide open, and I just keyed the microphone and just sang the song that was on the radio. And the fun part was when I came down pit road and I almost, when I got stopped, all the crew guys are laughing. The only one that's not laughing is the team manager that made the little small adjustment. And he goes, I get it. All right, we'll make bigger steps. So sometimes you got to do things to help your crew understand exactly how far you're trying to get them.
Of course, the first race here, everyone remembers it for A.J. Fort and Ari Landyke getting into the fight afterward. But if you don't blow your
engine,
what
made me mad.
You should have won, right?
Well, I know. I don't know what I was more upset about, the fact that we didn't win the race because we had a lap lead over Ari, or the fact that I didn't get a chance to be in the middle of the fight with A.J. and Ari. So, which A.J. and I should start, and Eddie should start I wouldn't call it a fantasy camp necessarily. I think we just need to start a real camp for drivers to teach them how to fight instead of this patty cake bullshit they're doing now. So, I love Tyler Reddick because he's a fellow dirt driver, and when they say, well, we're going to use hands, it's like, my God, what are we doing? Holding hands to come in from recess and preschool? Or are we going to... That's why I like Kevin Harvick. Wasn't it here when Kevin pushed Keselowski into somebody else and then they actually did start fighting? Yeah. And Jeff Gordon, for Jeff Gordon to fight, that's like, you got a better shot at hitting the lottery than getting Jeff Gordon to get in a fist fight. I think I'll go buy a lottery ticket thinking about that now. But yeah, at least Harvick had the balls to push somebody and say, listen, if we're going to do this, let's do this and let's do it right. So. It frustrates the crap out of me. I can't stand watching these guys. I'm watching Joey Logano with his hand on his crew guy in front of him so he can act like he's swinging back here. I'm like, for God's sake, guys, this is getting embarrassing. I tell you what, just line both of them up. I'll whip their ass by myself together. I don't care. I'll take them both on. We can do it right after this is over. Take them to the media center. I'll whip both their asses. You can put them right beside each other. I'll take them down. You can stand behind me and act like you're going to do something, Gossage. So that way it looks like at least 2-on-2. It looks more fair to them, maybe. I don't know.
Now it's your turn to drop the mic. That's
By the fantastic. Way, next year I will not be getting the sportsmanship award at Texas Motor Speedway. So.
Oh, my God. So good. When you switch to NASCAR, I don't even want to go back to this question.
Yeah, you might as well put those down, but we're not going to use that stuff anymore. Whatever you thought we were going to talk about, we're not talking about, all right?
This is the smoke show. All right, well, let's go straight to this. I told you I was going to apologize. So the smoke show that has become so beneficial to the children's charities actually started its first year, I believe it was 2007, as a media event. First of all, I couldn't believe that Eddie Gossage was getting some 12 or 14 media members to drive modified stock cars around this track. I'm like, Eddie, you're nuts. Somebody's going to wreck. You don't realize how idiotic these guys are. What are you doing? Then I figured it was Eddie's way of trying to get more publicity. If one of us wrecked, he would have been all over the front page. So it was evil genius. As it turns out. Hey,
it's funny you mention that because that's exactly what he was thinking, too.
I believe it. P.T. Barnum.
We were this close, buddy, to making it work.
I tried. So smoke... shows us how to drive around the track. None of us listened. None of us did very well at all.
Well, that's what happens when you guys do interviews with us, too. You guys don't listen, so. At least you were consistent.
Good point. Present company excluded. But it was really cool driving a modified stock car at 150 miles an hour. One of the coolest things I've ever done. However, when Tony Stewart drove me around at 200 miles an hour, it may have been the coolest thing in sports I have ever done. Ever. Yeah, it was equal parts, this is the coolest thing I've ever done, and oh my God, I think I'm going to die. Because I tell you guys, they get so close to the wall, I'm in the passenger seat, and I was afraid to turn right because I thought I was gonna scrape the windshield of my helmet. It's that exhilarating, it's that cool. And I don't know what happened, you guys, but near the end of the drive, when we're pulling back into pit road, I just morphed into myself as, I don't know, a high schooler, a college kid, and I went on this expletive-laced rant. And I was like, this is the bleepity-bleepest, coolest bleepity-bleep, most exhilarating bleepity-bleep, greatest bleepity-bleep-bleep-bleep-bleep-bleep thing I've ever done. Thank you, Tony. And I thanked him profusely and profanely for a good minute. And then the next media guy came up. And I've seen Tony a few times since, and I've never apologized.
Are you kidding me? Apparently you didn't hear me go bleep, bleep, bleep back. I thought it was a bleep, bleep, bleep cool ride too.
But here's the thing. I wasn't cussing at you. But I wasn't cussing with you either because you were so busy laughing at this goofy guy who was so excited.
Yeah, because you were about the fifth guy in a row that was cussing the same way you were. I'm like, these guys really are nuts. So,
you guys, if you ever get the opportunity to do the smoke show, driving is one thing. Riding with this man is completely different, and it's incredible. And let's, yeah, absolutely. It was, I mean... I've covered the Super Bowl, NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, everything. Final Four, National Championship in football. I've been there for all of it. None of it was as cool as riding with my man Smoke here. None of it. None of it. So let's close with that, Tony. When you think about what the Smoke Show has been able to do and the impact that you've been able to make on Speedway Children's Charities, what will that legacy mean to you?
Well, I get too much credit for it. I just take my day to do it. This was Eddie's brainchild from day one, and it started with a media day like that. And after the day was over, we looked at each other and said, it was amazing. It was so much more than what it was just designed to do for that one day. And Eddie said, what if we do this for Speedway Children's Charities? I said, well, if you want to do it again, I'm in. And since then, it's every year we just keep doing it. And I've told Eddie, till the day I die, as long as he wants to do it, I'm in. I will make a day every year to do this event because it's not just the event itself, but the people that have came to this event. There's people in this room that I have personal friendships with that I've met at the Smoke Show that are friends of mine now that I stay in touch with, and the fun parts are watching the husbands and wives, and I know there's two in particular that are here that. And I won't embarrass them. I don't mind embarrassing Eddie. I'm not going to embarrass you guys today. But that's the fun part, is watching how competitive they are with each other and watching people that were really timid to get in a stock car and have came back year after year. And one guy in particular was absolutely terrible the first time he came here. And 2 years ago, he was the fastest guy in the class. So it's more than just getting in and driving. It's the whole experience of the whole day, the time that we all get to spend together. But most of all, at the end of it, knowing that we all have a lot of fun for a day, but at the end of the day, seeing that video and seeing how many children we have the impact on, that's the best part of it, and that's the icing on the cake.
It's great stuff. Absolutely incredible. You guys, how about it one more time for Tony, but I want to bring Eddie up. Yeah, absolutely.
Come on, PT.
Eddie, come on up.
Come on, PT.
So... I've got some boxing gloves in my car. No, I'm kidding. Eddie's got a ring that will be given to Smoke to commemorate.
If I'd have known he was going to get a chance to talk, I wouldn't have said anything about him.
Turn his mic off, okay? So, you know, I was thinking about this morning, and we talk about a lot of things. Yesterday, Tony went over to the dirt track after lunch in some jeans and old shoes and whatnot, and climbed on a tractor and helped prep the track for last night's sprint car races because he owes me at least that much. We're always talking. You know, he wants to know how much should it cost for a linear foot of steel reinforced concrete retaining wall, and how much should it cost for, you know, cables and whatnot, and just things at a racetrack. All kinds of questions about racetracks. So we talk about it a lot, but mostly we talk about women. And he does. I'm a very happily married man, and he's, every once in a while I think, okay, this is it. This is the one. And 2 years ago he told me, this is the one. Remember that?
Yeah, I think I forgot to add, for today.
That's not what you said. And so I got to do something I thought you would have done by now. I had breakfast at home with the lovely Mrs. Gossage, and I put toast in the toaster I bought for your wedding gift.
And so the least you could have done is brought me toast for breakfast this morning.
I got some in my back pocket.
Great,
for you.
I appreciate that.
And so anyway, I thought you'd put a ring on it, but since you didn't, I'm going to put a ring on it. I want to present you with a ring.
Thank you, friend.
For the Texas Motorsports Hall of Fame.
I just wanted to see if you spelled my name right. Good job. Yeah, it's
A
EW, not
period,
UA.
J period. No. Yeah, right? Yeah. And seriously, in all senses of the word, you are a champion race car driver, friend, and just a championship guy. And we appreciate you. We love you. We wish you the best. I hope you win championships and whatnot for the rest of your life, and just really fortunate that you're part of ours. So congratulations.
Thank you, friend. I appreciate it.
So one last time, folks. First of all, thanks for taking your time to come out today. We appreciate you. But we had some great people that we honored today. So please, how about one more round of applause? Eddie, Stephanie Brownlee, Tyler Reddick, Chip Ganassi, and the great Tony Stewart. Here's hoping you had a great time today. Enjoy the race weekend, everyone. Thanks so much for coming out.
She can't get what she came for.